recorded.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercies. Thank you for your helps. Thank you for your provisions. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for always meeting us at the point of our need. Thank you for giving us breakthroughs and successes. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for drawing us closer to yourself. Thank you for ministering to our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us enlightenment concerning what is true and what is not true. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for always guiding us by your Holy Spirit through the path of righteousness. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for transforming us into new creatures that love you and that will always please you. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for everything you have taught us on this platform from your word. Thank you, Lord. We are here this evening to learn from you once again. I ask that you speak to us in Jesus' name. We want to know you more. We want to know more of your word. We want to know more of your way. Teach us from your heart today, in Jesus' name. Establish us in righteousness, such that we remain in you forever, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you are going to do more than we have asked. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to move forward to the next point in our teaching on backsliding. The next point is fellowshipping with the wrong crowd. Fellowshipping with the wrong crowd. That is another sign of backsliding. That is another danger sign that a believer is backsliding or have backslidden. Fellowshipping with the wrong crowd or wrong congregation. Yeah. Let us look at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12 to 16, and then verse 19. Proverbs 6, Proverbs 6, from verse 12 to 16. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his finger. Frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Yeah, we're going to see those six things in verse 17 and 18 and then 19. But I'm going to move to verse 19 now. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. He that soweth discord among brethren. Yeah, so I said, fellowshipping with the wrong crowd is another sign of backsliding. In the passage we've just read, It is explaining the characteristics and attitudes of a wicked man, a naughty person. Yeah, someone who is froward. Yeah, maybe we should look at these verses in a translation that will make it easier for you to understand. Let us look at this in New Living Translation. Proverbs. Proverbs 6, verse 12. Proverbs 6, verse 12. What are worthless and wicked people like? They are constant liars, signaling their deceit with a wink of the eye, a nudge of the foot, or the wiggle of fingers. Their perverted hands plot evil, and they constantly stir up trouble. But they will be destroyed suddenly, broken in an instant, beyond all hope of healing. Yeah, verse 16. These are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Okay, maybe I should read those things. Number one, haughty eyes. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, hands that kill the innocent. Number four, a heart that plots evil. Number five, feet that race to do wrong. And then number six, a false witness who pours out lies. And then number seven, a person who sows discord in a family. Yeah. So I think this translation makes it more more easy to understand. Now, if you fellowship with people who are like this, the person described in this passage, if you fellowship with them and you are happy staying with such people, then you are backsliding already. Yeah. We can communicate with people, relate with people, you know, we can relate with everyone and everyone irrespective of their character and attitude and still please God. So the question is, how do you relate with such people? Yeah, have you made people like the person described in Proverbs 6 verse 12 to 19? Have you made such people a close friend of yours? People like that person? Yeah. If you have made a person like that or people like that your close friend, then you're backsliding. Yeah. So we can relate with anyone, maybe for business purpose. You know, if you're a business person, you can even sell things to the most wicked person. Yeah, because all you care about is to sell. So even your mother can come and say, I want to buy some yogurt. Maybe you're selling yogurt, for instance. Even a witch can come and say, I want to buy some yogurt. Yeah, then yours is to sell the yogurt and collect the money. Yeah, so that one, there's nothing wrong with, you know, there's nothing wrong with relating with people, with even the most wicked person in terms of business, in terms of buying and selling. Except maybe you want to buy from someone and then the Holy Spirit says, don't buy from that person, look for another person, fine. Yeah, but without the Holy Spirit saying anything, you can relate with anyone and still not think. Yeah, so it depends on the ground through which you relate with such people. Yeah, so if the ground through which you are relating with someone who is evil is friendship. Friendship in the sense that the person will, you know, the person would come to your house, would visit you, and you also would visit that person, then that is wrong. Especially when you know the kind of person you're dealing with, when you know the nature of that person, it's wrong to draw them closer. Yeah, the only time you could probably visit the person is if you are going to preach the gospel there. Yeah, if you are going to preach the gospel of Jesus to such a unbeliever or wicked person, then you can visit the person's house. Yeah, but apart from going there to preach, you're not supposed to be close to people who are evil, people who devise evil, people who oppress innocent innocent lives. Yeah, people who are idolaters, people who are enemies of God. You're not supposed to be close with such people. Yeah, so don't fellowship with wrong crowd, wrong people, including wrong churches or wrong church. Yeah, don't have fellowship with wrong church or wrong people. Yeah, people that doesn't have Jesus, don't have fellowship with them, except maybe business brought you and them together, or academics brought you and them together. Maybe they are your fellow students in the school or in the campus or in the college. Yeah. Apart from that, or maybe you go to them to preach the gospel to them. Apart from that, don't have any close relationship with people who hate God, people who hate righteousness, people who are slaves to sin and they are comfortable serving pain or serving Satan. Yeah. I pray that the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Let us also look at Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Yeah. Can you see that? Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. May you not join with fools. May you not join the company of fools, join the community of fools, in Jesus' name. Yeah, so this instruction in the Word of God that saying we should watch people we get close to, or people we bring close into our lives, cut across every area of our lives. In every aspect of your life, you should be careful or watchful about people you get close to and people you bring close into your life, including people you listen to. Yeah, even people that you follow online or on the internet or on social media platforms. You should be careful about such people. Yeah. Let the Holy Spirit guide you into friendships and relationships. Yeah, because they are spiritual. Friendships are spiritual for Christians. In fact, for anybody, friendships and relationships are spiritual. They are beyond physical. Yeah, and the same thing goes with connections, human connections. Yeah, people you connect with, people you associate with. They are all spiritual. I mean, association with people, your association with people, your connection or connection with people are spiritual. Yeah, they are beyond shaking the hands or hugging the person or laughing together with the person, smiling together with the person, or exchanging greetings. They are beyond that. Yeah, there are spiritual things going on, spiritual networks that are invisible to your physical eye. Yeah, even if you have not seen the person face to face before. Yeah, but the fact that you have opened your hand and have welcomed that person in your hand, you're already connected with that person. Yeah, the person may be staying far away in a far country. Yeah, but in as much as you have opened your hand and have brought that person into your hand, you are now connected, not just physically, you are now spiritually connected with that person. And that could do you good or evil. Yeah, the connection could do you good or do you evil. So that is why you have to be careful with the people you draw close to. Yeah, because darkness can be transferred from that person to you. Yeah, even if you have not met the person physically, in as much as there is a connection, there is a friendship connection, there is a trust connection or love connection, darkness can be transferred from that person into your life. Yeah, so now, let's say the person you have now opened your heart to happens to be a deceiver or happens to be a fool. Yeah, or happens to be an agent of Satan, then you'll be in trouble. Yeah, so be careful. Be careful. I pray that the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Yeah, I know some of you will say, let's pray for discernment. Yeah, some of you would say, let's pray for the spirit of discernment so that we can know who to let into our lives and who not to. Yeah, and that is good. We need discernment, but there are some things that are very obvious that you don't even need to pray. I mean, you don't even need to pray about them. You don't need to pray and say, God, should I get close to this person? Yeah, because you would have seen some wrong attitude already. If you are really a born again child of God, you would have seen some wrong attitude, and with that, you would know that I can't get close with this person. So you would have seen something in the attitude, in the lifestyle, in the dressing, in the character of that person. Yeah, like for instance, if I talk with someone that I've not met before, if I talk with that person maybe for like 20 minutes at most, at least I would have known some key things about that person. Even without praying about the person, whether I should be close to the person or not. Yeah, just spending some 20 minutes, whether over the phone, sometimes even through text message, messaging, or chat, or through chatting with the person via text messages, I can easily know who the person is without praying. So if you are filled with the Word of God, you will easily know people that should not be part of your life, and also people that should be part of your life. Yeah, there's a way you will just see in the character of the person. Yeah, because some Christians would say, let me watch the person for a while. I'll be praying. If God doesn't want me to be close to the person, God will show me. There's no need to pray when you can already see with your physical eyes a lot of things that are wrong in the lifestyle and attitude and character of the person. There's no need to pray again. Except you are just trying to deceive yourself, or you're just trying to disobey God. So once you have seen those things, those wrong lifestyle in the person, you should just set that boundary. You should set the boundary instantly. Set the boundary, and don't let the person come close. So that scripture that says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 13 verse 20 is very true. How do you know a fool? A fool does not mean a lack of intelligence. A fool in this context has to do with someone that does not know God, someone that does not obey God, someone that does not love God, or someone that does not believe in God. That is the meaning of a fool in this context. Not just someone that doesn't have intelligence. I believe you understand. So we have some people with very high intelligence. And they are very smart. In fact, some of them have collected awards. But national and international awards of being the best in some fields of career or in their fields of career or profession. Yeah. But then these people, they have no relationship with God. In fact, they don't even want anything to do with God. Some of them, they would come out publicly and say they don't want to have anything to do with the God of Christians. Yeah. Some of them will even say something very bad about God. Yeah, when some of them, they will come out to talk about their gods and goddesses, the idols they worship. Yeah, so such people are fools. They may be wise in the eyes of human beings. They may be wise according to the standard of this world, but according to the standard of the Bible, they are fools. According to the Spirit of God, they are fools, because they have not allowed God to have his way in their lives. They have not allowed God to take his place in their lives. That is why they are fools. So don't be friends with fools. Yeah. They may sound very nice. Don't be deceived by their word. Don't be deceived by their speech. Yeah, inasmuch as God is missing in their lives, don't draw close to them. Yeah, because there is nothing you will gain from them. Trust me. There is nothing you will gain from them. I pray that you will be wise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us also look at other scriptures. First Corinthians 15 verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications, which also means evil relationships or ungodly, unholy relationships. Relationship you have with wrong people, sinful people, wicked people, they will corrupt you. Yeah. I know that there are some relationships we cannot ignore, we cannot avoid. Like that of relationship between a lecturer and a student, or a professor and his student. Yeah, you can't say because your lecturer in the university is a Satan worshipper. You can say because of that, you will not attend this class, because if you don't, you will fail the course. Yeah, you would fail the course. Yeah, but what the Bible really is saying to us is more of close relationship. Yeah, close relationship with wrong people. Yeah. So you should have boundaries that you have created in your own life. Yeah, and there should be people that cannot cross your boundaries to get close to you. And then there can be some other people that you can draw close because you know that they are wise people and they are godly people and they have God in them, they have Jesus in them. Yeah. So evil communication will corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. When it comes to relationships, don't be emotional. I believe you heard me. Don't be emotional. Yeah. Before you bring in emotions, first of all, deal with it spiritually. Yeah, you must deal with relationships spiritually before you bring emotions into it. Yeah. So even if you feel like, oh, this person is nice, this person is good, but then you notice 2-3 things the person is doing that is contrary to the scriptures, contrary to the word of God. And then you even ask a question about those things. You ask that person about those two, three things you noticed in his or her life that is contrary to the word of God. And then the person kept saying, I've been doing this. I love doing this. I can't see anything wrong with it. Yeah. Do you have a problem with it? This is something that is part of my life. Yeah. What should you do at that point? You should instantly cut off the closeness between you and that person. So don't be deceived by the other things you are saying in the person's life, and then you felt, oh, this is a nice person, this is a good person, this is a righteous person. Don't let the other things you see that appears good in the life of the person deceive you. You should immediately cut off the closeness. In a case where you're already getting close to the person, you should immediately cut off the closeness. Yeah. Because if you don't, sooner or later, you will start to suffer damages that Satan will use that person to cause in your life, or damages Satan will use the relationship you have with that person to cause. I believe you understand. Yeah. So don't be emotional about relationships, even if it is with your sibling. Yeah, even if it is with your family members and relatives. Don't be emotional about your relationship with them. Before you bring in emotions, first of all, be spiritual about the relationship. Yeah. Try to see how much they love God, how much they care about God. Yeah, don't just draw anyone close. Yeah, don't just try that. Yeah, even Jesus said that we must, because of Him, hate our family members, parents, relatives. Yeah, that if we don't, because of Him, hate family members, relatives, that we are not worthy of His kingdom. Yeah, so what Jesus meant by that is you must not be close member or relative that is ungodly, that is unrighteous, that is evil. Even though you are related with them by blood, that doesn't mean you have to be close to them. Even if they are your parents or they are your children or they are your grandchildren or they are your siblings. Yeah, inasmuch as they have chosen another path that is against the will of God, against the word of God, you must not draw them close. Yeah, you can pray for them that they will be saved, but you must not be close to them, and you must not let them influence you to do what is wrong in the sight of God. But that is what Jesus meant by we hating family members, siblings, relatives, because of Him. So the word hate there does not really mean outright hatred. It means that you put them where they belong. You don't bring them close. And it also means you don't allow them influence you against the will of God. You don't allow them influence you and control you to go against the will of God or to go against the word of God. Yeah, that is what that word eight means in that verse. Maybe I should look for that verse. Let me see if I can get that verse. I think I've found it. It's in Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You see, can you see that? Jesus said, if you come to him and then you don't hate your father, your mother, even your wife, your children, your siblings, and then your whole life, he said you can't be a disciple. So it's as serious as that. I don't know why some preachers are not preaching from these passages of the Bible. Though Jesus didn't mean outright hatred. Because we have been commanded to love. To love our neighbors. Because the same Jesus commanded us to love our neighbors and to love the brethren and to love the way God loves. And we know that God loves sinners. So Jesus didn't mean outright hatred. What he meant by hate means you don't welcome those people when they want to mislead you. Don't welcome them into your life. When their lifestyle is contrary to your own lifestyle, don't welcome them into your life, even if they are your blood brother or blood relative. Don't welcome them into your life. That is what the scripture means. You can relate with them. You can talk to them. You can even help them as God leads you. That is, you can help them financially. You can support them. But you must not bring them close. Because they don't love God and they don't want God. And then they believe things that are against what you believe. So Jesus meant that you should not create any place in your heart for them. You can show them love and pray for them, but you must not bring them close. And you must not let them influence you against God, against God's righteousness. That is why I said you must hate even your whole life. Because even your own self, your own feelings, your own emotions will want to influence you against God and against the will of God. So even your own flesh, your own human nature will also want to influence. In fact, every second your own flesh is fighting against the will of God. every second. So Jesus said, you must even hate your own life also. And that is how you will be his disciple. Let me show you that where it says your flesh is fighting against the spirit. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, then. I'm going to read verse 17. Or maybe I should read from verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Yeah, okay, can you see that? Let us read it in New Living Translation. New Living Translations, Galatians 5. Galatians 5:16-17. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Can you see that? So let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. That's the same thing as a walk in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Verse 17. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And you see that I like the way this translation breaks it down. This New Living Translation. Yeah. If you don't have this translation, I would advise that you go and get it. Yeah. It has helped me to understand many scriptures in King James Version very well. Yeah, because I started to study the Bible with King James Version. Yeah, and then I think with NIV and then Gideon International Version. Yeah, but then when I came across this NLT, it really helped my understanding of the Bible. So if you don't have it, go and get it, or you can download this app called YouVersion app. And then on that app, you can download a lot of translations. Yeah. So you can see the way NLT puts it. Yeah. Because of time, I don't want to go over it again, but you can go over it again on your own. That is Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Galatians 5, verse 16 and verse 17. You can look at it in KJV and then look at it in NLT. And then you can meditate on it on your own. Yeah, so you see that the writer, Apostle Paul, really points out what the flesh really is. Yeah, and what is this flesh? Yeah, you know, in this ministry we talk a lot about the flesh because we have identified it as the greatest enemy of mankind and as the greatest enemy of your salvation and deliverance and redemption. That is why we talk a lot about it. Yeah. So what is this flesh? As you can see in that passage, it is the nature of sin that is in your that is in your humanity. Yeah, the nature of sin in your human being. You know, you are a human being. Yeah. So the nature of sin in your being, which includes your spirit, soul, and body. Yeah, the nature of sin in your human nature or human being. That is the flesh. Yeah, Apostle Paul tried to call it flesh because if you see any human being, what you will see is the flesh. That is the body, the bones, the blood, that's the flesh. If you go to the market to buy meat, to buy beef, you know, you're buying flesh. Flesh of the cow or the goat or the chicken. So that is flesh. So Apostle Paul decided to use the word flesh because if you look at any human being, what you will see is their body, which comprises of the tissues, the skin, the muscles, the blood, the bones, and the rest of the organs. But actually the flesh is more than just the body. It's actually a nature. The flesh is a nature that is inside of us. And that nature does not want you to please God. That nature is an agent of sin, agent of darkness. So if you are looking for an agent of darkness, you don't need to look far. Your flesh is one. So inside of you is an agent of darkness. Maybe you have not had anyone say that to you before, but that's the truth. Inside of you is a very strong agent of darkness. Yeah, which is the flesh, the sinful nature that you were born with. Yeah, and you must fight this flesh till you make heaven. And you making heaven is going to be determined by how much victory you have gotten over this sinful nature. Yeah, if you fail to conquer the flesh, you can't make heaven. You can't. It's impossible. Yeah, so Jesus was saying that we must hate even our own life. You know, much of the letters or teachings of Apostle Paul, they only gave more light to the teachings of Jesus, or more understanding, or more expression to the teachings of Jesus. Yeah, because the teachings of Jesus alone is enough to take anyone to heaven. But we thank God for Apostle Paul. He was able to break it down for many people to understand what Jesus actually meant. So when Jesus said, we must hate even our own life to become his disciple, So he meant that inside of us is an enemy of God, which is our flesh. And if we don't hate this, our sinful nature, we cannot be his disciple. We cannot make heaven. And we cannot please God. I believe you understand. If we don't hate this sinful nature that is inside of us from the day we were born, if we don't hate it and fight against it and conquer it, there is no way we can become Jesus' disciples, and there is no way we can make heaven. So let me show you again from that. Let me show you some things from that verse. Galatians 5 verse 17. It says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. You can see, some years ago I was in a meeting with Bible study teachers. Yeah, because I was ministering in a church and I was a Bible study. No, is it Bible study? No, Sunday school. Sorry. I was in a meeting with Sunday school teachers. Yeah, because in that church I was one of the ministers, and I usually teach them on Sunday. They call that program Sunday school. So before we teach on Sunday, we used to have this preview with you. Just us, the Sunday school teachers, we come together and then we do a kind of preview or a kind of discussion on what we would teach the people on Sunday. On Sunday. So in one of those Sunday school preview meetings, we're discussing on how one can be sure that what God has revealed is actually from God. Like maybe in a case where you saw a revelation or you had a voice. So we're asking ourselves, because we do ask ourselves questions that we hope that the Sunday school student would ask. Yeah, so we're discussing how can one be sure that whatever voice he has heard from the spiritual realm is from God or from another spirit. Yeah, whether a voice or a vision, or an instruction or a revelation. Yeah, and then I told them something. I said, one thing I know is that whatever the Holy Spirit says to anybody, whatever direction or instruction the Holy Spirit would give anybody, I told them that it is always against the desires of the flesh. Yeah, so, which means one of the ways to know whether it is the Holy Spirit that has been speaking to you or another spirit is to check if that thing is in agreement with your flesh or not. Yeah, because in that place it says that the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of the desires that the flesh gives us, that is the sinful nature. Yeah, so one of the ways to know if it is the Holy Spirit that is leading you or speaking to you or not, yeah, one of the ways to know is that voice I'm hearing, is that leading I'm getting from the spirit realm, is it satisfying the desires of my sinful nature? Is it satisfying my flesh? Or is it going against my flesh? Because the Holy Spirit will never give a desire or give an instruction or give a direction that your flesh wants. I don't know if you're getting my point. The Holy Spirit will not give a desire, will not put a desire in your heart, or a passion in your heart, or put an idea in your heart, or an instruction in your heart that is the same with what your flesh wants. Yeah, the Holy Spirit will not do that. Yeah. So the desire of the Spirit is always against the desires of the flesh. Yeah. So that is why, as a Christian, you should always be very, very determined to do what your flesh is telling you to not do. Yeah, I know that what I've just explained can be very difficult to understand in the practical sense. Yeah, but as you spend more time with the Holy Spirit, you will understand how to really discern what is coming from the Spirit and what is coming from the flesh. Yeah, as you spend time with God and as you crucify your flesh, as you die to your flesh, you will start to understand better how the flesh operates and how the Spirit operates. Yeah, so it's not something that you can just understand at once. You will understand through practice. Yeah, you will understand over time as you continue to walk with God. Yeah, so you have to be practicing this self-crucifixion, which is also self-denial. Yeah, you have to be practicing it always. Then you will now be able to discern accurately the things that are coming from the Spirit, from the things that are coming from the flesh. Because sometimes it can be confusing. But if in you really hate the flesh, you will not be confused. Yeah, so let us continue. Galatians 5, verse 7. Galatians 5, verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Yeah, it's obvious in this passage that the people or the believers in this Galatian church, the believers in this church Paul was writing to, it's obvious that they are being misled. Someone was misleading them. They welcomed someone. Yeah, they welcomed someone into their midst, and that person began to mislead them to the point that they were losing the faith. Yeah, until the news got to Apostle Paul. Yeah, someone was confusing them and misleading them. That was why Paul was saying here that you started well. So who is the person that is hindering you, stopping you from obeying the truth? So let us not bring wrong people into our lives. Yeah. Let me read the same verse from New Living Translation. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? Yeah, they were doing so well, but then they opened the door of their church to a stranger who was professing to be an authority they should listen to, they should obey. And he was going to mislead them. Yeah. So don't just welcome anybody into your heart or any teaching or doctrine. Yeah, even when you listen to sermons of other preachers, guard your heart. And mind while you are listening. Be ready. While you are listening, be ready to cut off things that you know is against what you stand for, which is what the Word of God stands for, what the Kingdom of God stands for. I pray that the Lord will help you. Amen. And then the last scripture we're going to look at is James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4, verse 4. Let us look at it. James 4. Verse 4. Yeah, let me read from NLT. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. You can see, yeah, James used the word adulterance to mean that they have been joined with Jesus and now they are joining themselves with the world. Yeah, so adultery is not only, you know, it's not only when you cheat on your spouse. Yeah, when you go and sleep with another person that is not your wife, and then you have your wife at home. You're already married, and yet you're going out with another woman to sleep with her, or a woman who is already married going out with another man. Yeah, adultery is not limited to that. So there is spiritual adultery as well. Yeah, there is spiritual adultery. And spiritual adultery is when you have already been joined with Jesus and now you are now joining yourself with the world. You are now joining with unbelievers. That is adultery. Yeah. They're not joining with the ways of the world, the lifestyle in the world, the dressing style, the way the people in the world, the way they dress, the way they paint their faces, which they call Mekong. Yeah, the way they live their lives. And then you start to do exactly those things that the people in the world do. It means you are now betraying Jesus. It means you are now turning against Jesus by joining with the world. So you are committing spiritual adultery. Yeah. And that is punishable with death. Yeah, because according to the law of Moses, the punishment for adultery is death. Yeah. And Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law. Yeah, so we should be careful. We should be careful. Don't join with the world. Don't. So you can live long. And then so you can make heaven. Don't join with the ways of the world. Don't. Yeah. Let me read it again, then we'll round off. James 4, verse 4. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Yeah, so we can become an enemy of God. It doesn't matter how far you have gone in the faith. In as much as you now start, you now start to join with the world, you become an enemy of God instantly. It doesn't matter the title that you have or the fame you have or the anointing of God you carry. In as much as you now start to compromise with the world, you at that point become an enemy of God. And God can kill you. Yeah, when you are an enemy of God, God can destroy you. Yeah, God can destroy you. I pray that you will not be an enemy of God. In Jesus' name. So we are going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for everything you have exposed to us from your scripture today. Thank you for showing us how we should avoid wrong friendships, wrong relationships that will take us away from you. Thank you for showing us these things. I ask that you help everyone here and those that will listen to this teaching to do what is right in Jesus' name. Help your people to disconnect from wrong ministries, wrong ministers, wrong Christians, and wrong churches, and wrong family members, wrong neighbors, and wrong relatives in Jesus' name. Help us to connect with the right people that you want for us, that you have destined for us in Jesus' name. I pray that every temptation Satan have arranged to trap anyone here into a wrong friendship, a wrong relationship. I decree, O Lord, that your mighty hand destroys such temptation right now in Jesus' name. I pray that you shall not be deceived to join a wrong crowd or wrong congregation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.